She's your queen to be, a queen to be forever, a queen who'll do whatever His Highness desires. She's your queen to be, a vision of perfection, to quench your royal fire, completely free from infection, to be used at your discretion, waiting only for your direction, your queen to be.
Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number 14. It's all scripted right here.
I see that.
Unofficially sponsored by Pearson Salted Nut Roll, made in St. Paul, Minnesota. Don't be a butthole. Eat a Pearson Salted Nut Roll. Don't laugh. And I laugh. You can check out past episodes of this show at thankyourob.com, where you can also check out my graphic design work and my other podcast, Some People's Kids Podcast. While you're at it, check out this podcast airing on Fuzz Talk Radio at fuzztalkradio.com. Last episode, I had a gentleman by the name of Joe Wobbs, and he is a guitarist for a band called Project 13. You've probably met the guy because we've played with him before.
Project 13, that's capacity.
Capacities, yeah. Mm-hmm. And today's guest is Professor Fresh.
Hello.
On the last episode, this is an album you might know a little something about. It's called Check Your Head by...
The Beastie Boys.
The Beastie Boys.
No, I don't. I don't know that.
Okay.
No, I do, of course. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's the album they started playing their instruments again.
Right. Very good. We had some technical difficulties recording that episode, but I thought, and I was misled, I thought that was their first album where they left Def Jam. But it was actually Paul's Boutique. It was on Capitol Records.
Yeah, that it was.
Did not know that.
They only had the one on Def Jam.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
License to Ill.
Mm-hmm. The Rick Rubin record.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
The Paul's Boutique was the Dust Brothers.
Yes, very good.
Mm-hmm.
The man knows his Beastie Boys.
I certainly do.
I purchased the digital remaster of the album.
Fantastic.
All of them have digital remasters. With, like, usually a second disc of, like, bonus remixes, whatnot. This one in particular, one of the coolest remixes, So What You Want, Soul Assassins remix, featuring Be Real.
Yeah, you know, that's on, they do a live version of that on their video, Skills to Pay the Bills, I believe.
Okay.
Pretty
their,
cool.
Their home video?
Yeah, it's a home video.
VHS?
I got it, if you want to see it later on.
I'd like to look at it.
Mm-hmm. I don't have anything we can play it in, but...
Right. We can look at it, touch it. Sometimes that's all you need.
I've also got another one from tour footage of License to Ill, where MCA dumps honey on this chick and then fingers her.
Oh, MCA, you are missed.
Indeed.
Yeah. He used to come over and pour honey on me.
Finger, yeah.
Yeah. Well, today we're going to talk about the movie Coming to America. Now, knowing you,
yes,
we could have talked about a number of things, Beastie Boys being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Def Leppard, I know you're a huge Def Leppard fan.
I'd give my left arm to play that good on the drums.
But we chose a movie, and we chose Coming to America.
That's insensitive, I'm
it
sorry.
It is, but it's funny. There's no, pretty much no rules on this show. You know.
The one rule is no rules. All right.
So the movie Coming to America.
Yes.
Coming to America, as you know, the theme song.
See.
That's can't, not. A, that's not.
See.
Yeah. Is that a real song? Like before the movie, and they're like, "I like that song."
No, it's, you know, in the '80s, they tended to make a song for the movie, and right. A lot of times they would have the stars be in it. Good example of that is when Tom Hanks and Danny Aykroyd rap the Dragnet song.
Right, that's right.
City and Crime or something.
One of my favorite theme songs made from a movie is Mannequin.
Yeah.
Mannequin. I'm a mannequin.
Is that real?
No.
I was going to say, I watched that recently. I own both of them.
Who's the guy in there?
Andrew McCarthy.
Andrew McCarthy, yes, mm-hmm. yes.
And, well, and the villain is James Spader, who
right.
is amazing.
Yeah, and he's like the owner of the department store?
He's the manager. There's one above him, but he's the main villain, so to speak, yeah.
Well, Coming to America.
Mm-hmm, back on track, Jesus.
Yeah, it's cool. My job is to get off track with you and then bring it back on track.
Fantastic.
Coming to America.
Mm-hmm.
The movie came out June 29th, 1988.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that day?
Not in particular. I watched that movie very young, but I wouldn't say I saw it in the theater. It was had an R rating.
Right.
In 88, you say?
88.
I was in second grade.
Right.
Yes.
This was when usually it was a rental. You know, you mm-hmm. maybe you went to the movie store with your folks and you're like, hey, I want to rent this. And once they saw tits, you were like, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, all the 80s comedies have it.
Right. And my dad would often make me cover my eyes, but, you know, I'd do the peek thing.
Yeah.
And I think he probably knew I was doing that. And
that's funny.
He was okay with that.
That was like, the tits were the only reason my dad could get me to watch Monty Python when I was really young. And he'd tell people, like, hey, he likes the women with their shirts off. But, yeah, he also watched, he was a big Saturday Night Live fan, so... Right. Like, we watched all the Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy, Bill Murray, Chevy Chase things. It was pretty great.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Classics.
Yeah.
Well, the tagline for this movie.
Okay.
An African prince goes to Queens, New York City to find a wife whom he can respect for her intelligence and will.
That's an awfully long tagline.
It is. But I guess it makes sense. If you were to say to someone, have you seen Coming to America? And they're like, what movie is that? You would say, oh, it's the movie about the African prince that goes to Queens, New York City to find a wife whom he can respect for intelligence and will.
He does.
They would know what you're talking about.
What's her name? Lisa?
Lisa, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lisa McDowell?
Lisa McDowell, yeah. Now, this was the first Eddie Murphy movie where he plays multiple characters, too.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Since Akeem,
Clarence.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Watson. He was the singer, I think.
Right? Oh, yeah. Sexual Chocolate.
Sexual Chocolate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's also the old Jewish guy in the...
In the shop, yeah. I think that's Clarence.
Ah.
And that was kind of spoofed in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, sure was.
With the fatties, right?
Yeah, some like
the
that.
Farties?
The fatties. Yeah, it is the fatties, I think.
Yeah. Jeff Portnoy.
That sure was. That movie was well done.
Yes. Another note about this movie, Coming to America.
Mm-hmm.
Cameos by... Sam Jackson.
Oh, a young Sam Jackson. Young I think Sam he's Jackson. Even billed as Sam Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he was eventually like, we got to throw that L in there.
Well, you know what I always thought was funny about that is in the Eddie Murphy movie Showtime, mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar.
I am.
Him and De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
He's an aspiring actor who's a cop. And he says, the guy, one of his friends is giving him shit or something. And he's like, do you know how old Sam Jackson was when he got his break? He makes this big thing about it, and the ironic thing about that is I'm pretty sure that, like, that first role was Coming to America right then.
Right.
So, it's a little callback.
A little throwback.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Ed Murphy.
Ed Murphy. And another first, not a first, but Louis Anderson, Minnesota's own.
Indeed. As a matter of fact, I have a song on the For Minnesota with Love record called A Matter of Fact. And I was trying to think of some Minnesota fat things, and Louis Anderson is exactly what I thought of. Yeah. So I say, I'm washing lettuce or something about trash. I don't give a shit. Something about I'll be a manager in a year and a half.
See? Now I'm washing lettuce.
Yeah. Used to work the trash. I'll make management in a year and a half. That's when the big bucks roll in. So, yeah, I do it.
Have you seen Louis on that diving reality show?
No.
There's a reality show. It just started.
Okay.
I think it's on NBC. Yeah. Check your local listings.
I will.
And they dive. It's like the high dive.
And he's going to do this.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Okay.
Louis Anderson. You almost feel sorry for him. It's like, you know, Louis, come on, man. You're better than that.
Does he wear one of those, like, 1920s?
I think so. Like, back to school.
Yeah. Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. He is a scary looking son of a bitch, Louis Anderson, and just weird, fat as fuck too. You know, Wace, he saw him this summer.
That's right. He told me that.
That's fantastic.
Wace was there.
Saw Louis Anderson riding around in a fucking rascal at the State Fair.
Yeah. Another cameo in this movie, not even a speaking line, Cuba Gooding Jr. getting his hair cut.
That's right.
And, I mean, if I were to ever do like a big Hollywood movie, I feel that my introduction should be without me having to open my mouth.
Just sitting there,
getting my hair cut.
Being in the young blood.
Getting my hair did.
John Amos is in the movie.
Yeah, he is.
He's great.
Yeah.
He was in an episode of Psych a few years back, and he was super into crime drama shows,
mm-hmm.
and he kept referring to them as like the character in the show as the name of the show. So he'd be like, "Oh, you're a regular Rockford Files." It's unbelievable. It was very funny.
He was in one of those shows like 6622 or 227 or whatever the show, wasn't he on that? He seems like a Good Times. Was it Good Times?
Yeah, he was him in Florida. Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know what else he was in?
What?
The video for Natural Born Killers by Dr. Drizzy and Ice Kizube.
Was he the cop?
He was a cop, yeah.
The guy at the beginning on the...
Yeah.
Mm. He's good.
There's a couple versions of that video. One of them features Tupac.
Tupac?
At the end, he's like... I think it's John Amos that like gives the call to shoot either Ice Cube or Dr. Dre. Pac has a sniper rifle.
Tupac.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's funny, you know, we should probably mention that John Amos is also in Roots.
Right.
Plays Kunta Kinte. Right.
What? He does not play Kunta Kinte.
The fuck he doesn't?
That's the Reading Rainbow guy.
When he's younger.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
LeVar Burton. Jordy LaForge.
Yes, yes.
Come on. Should the guy don't know some Jordy LaForge shit?
Next gen.
Next generation. The superior Star Trek of all the series.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're the Star Trek fan. I'll watch it.
I am.
I will watch it.
I've never made a distinction between Star Trek and Star Wars, whether I have a favorite.
Right.
Moments in time have certainly been heavy one or the other. Channel 9, KMSTP, or whatever the hell. They used to play Next Generation twice a night when I was, junior high.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it every night, and that was spectacular. Yeah.
I remember junior high.
Junior high was the shit.
Well, speaking of John Amos. Amos?
Whatever.
He plays the role as the owner of a McDowell's franchise, which is different from McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
They have the golden arches. McDowell's has the golden arcs, as he says.
Mm-hmm. Big Mac, Big Mick.
The Big Mac, yeah.
We got the Big Mick. You know, which doesn't actually make sense, because McDonald's has the Big Mac and McDowell's has the Big Mick.
Right.
They're backwards.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That always bummed me out when I was a kid. Like, why? Some people from McDonald's here.
So speaking of that, I dug a little deeper.
Okay.
I sunk my teeth into this.
Okay, okay.
The McDowell's restaurant used in the movie was actually a Wendy's on Queens Boulevard that was scheduled to be closed for a complete renovation.
Mm.
Although the production, now this is straight from the wiki page. I'm going to be honest, it's not off the top of my head right now.
That's cool.
Although the production had gotten approval from McDonald's Corporation, to do this, they apparently didn't pass the word down to their local outlets, their local franchises. So on the day the McDowell's sign was erected, and they used that word, the manager of the McDonald's half a mile down the road showed up with a lawyer and proceeded to take photographs while telling the set crew they were going to be sued for everything they were worth.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And I wonder if that was maybe ad-libbed in the movie, that part where they're outside and the photographers...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, put in there. That's very cool. That's funny.
Or maybe they were like, they got the idea from that or something. You know?
They didn't know that Eddie Murphy was going to be in the house.
Right.
You know, fast food restaurant managers are such dipshits sometimes. You know, excuse me, but where is it? Jordan, Minnesota has a Burger King right on 169. Worst Burger King I've ever been to. Mm-hmm. Worst staff, disgusting, loud, stupid, takes forever, fucks up your order. Dude, I was there one time with Ilpo. He ordered like one cheeseburger, and then the guy just didn't take an order from me. Like 10 minutes later, he's like, oh, was that not for both of you? What a dumb shit. And I was just there the other day, and I vowed to never go back there.
That's nice. Jordan, Minnesota, Burger King, stay away.
Yeah, understood. It's a combo with the Holiday Station.
Ah, yes.
That place sucks. Go across the street to McDonald's.
Get a Big Mac.
Mm-hmm. They got a ball pit and shit, too, anyway.
So, the country, Zamunda.
Yeah.
Right. Now, that the name of that, it's a fictional country in Africa, which is actually taken from a Richard Pryor routine, where he referred to a fictional African tribe from Zamunda.
You know that movie, the beginning when they're in Zamunda, sure is a spectacle, isn't it?
It is.
Just fabulous, and it's just beautiful with, and man, it's wonderful. And then you got fucking Arsenio Hall doing flips and shit,
right?
Bow staff skills, that the royal penis is clean. Magic.
There was an inconsistency that I saw in the movie. I just watched it today.
Okay,
just to freshen up the mind.
I was going to, and I forgot.
It's all right.
No,
I'm pretty sure you know the movie front to back.
I do.
At the beginning, when they get to Queens and they say they want like the worst apartment in the building, right? The landlord, he walks him up and he says, "This place only has one window
and it
faces a brick wall."
Yeah.
And it used to rent it to a blind man. Well, they walk in, blah blah blah, and then like in the next scene, they show Eddie Murphy
out front of the building.
Well, Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall, they're out on the balcony. First of all, there's two balconies like outside their windows, and they're like over the street.
Yeah.
So, they done fucked up.
Yeah, the hello my neighbors part.
Yes, hello my neighbors. Fuck you, Jack.
yes, fuck you too.
Something else I did not know. Mm-hmm. A television pilot of a weekly sitcom of the version of the film was for CBS.
Hmm.
What they actually filmed the pilot and did not have Eddie Murphy, did not have Arsenio Hall. Instead, Tommy Davidson.
Hmm.
Yeah, he was playing a different prince, but Paul Bates, who is the I don't know, the kind of like assistant to the prince, the guy that sings the "She is your to be," that guy.
He was in it.
Yeah,
that's who they got from the movie.
Right.
Great.
Yeah.
I bet they got a little singing in there too.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'd like to find it. The pilot. I don't know if it aired. But it was made. I'd like to try to find that.
I fucking hate Tommy Davidson.
Really?
Oh, he sucks.
Although he did play in Ace Ventura 2.
Yeah, I love Ace Ventura 2, but...
No?
That's a fair chunk of why I hate him.
Because of that?
Mm-hmm.
So the movie, there's a couple of impacts on hip-hop that I kind of correlated.
Okay.
The scene, "The Royal Penis is Clean, Sir," that music played in the background, that's a song. The song is called "The Bath" by Niles Rogers.
Niles Rogers, you say?
Yep. And, but that was sampled in a Snoop Dogg song featuring R. Kelly called "That's That Shit" on the blue carpet treatment.
That sounds good.
And now the sample is of that scene in the movie, not so much the song, but the song is featured in that clip. You know what I mean?
I do.
Because they even dropped the royal penis is clean.
I think I've heard the song.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then during the Black Awareness fundraiser, the scene after Sexual Chocolate performs.
Boy's good.
Yep. The guy says, "That boy can sing. He good." That's sampled on a Brother Ali song, Forrest Whitaker, at the end.
Ah, yes.
And then the landlord yelling, "Your rent's due, motherfucker!"
That's in Bone Thugs.
Right. Yeah. What's that song called? Mr. Bill Collector?
Mm-hmm. I also used it in a Psychosynthetic song once.
Okay. I know there's a few songs that have used that. It's just too good.
Oh, it is.
"Your rent's due, motherfucker." And then there's a Busta Rhymes video.
Hmm.
Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See, which is kind of using the premise of the dancers. Besides that, you know, actually, I think you were the one that brought that correlation of Trading Places.
Oh, yeah.
In this.
Yeah, I didn't see Trading Places until well after Coming to America, so I didn't ever understand that when I was initially watching Coming to America. But yeah, that's
Tell the listeners the scene.
Well, there's the scene in Coming to America where Eddie Murphy has that wad of cash that I think he takes from Arsenio, and he gives it to these two bums. Two old guys, and it's the brothers that are in Trading Places with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. It's escaping me.
The Duke brothers.
Yeah. That was Francis and Mortimer or something. They are the villains, but
Randolph.
That's Randolph. There you go. And that's a fantastic film, too.
No, at the end of Trading Places, they lost all their money.
Right, so this is essentially them, but Eddie Murphy's a different character.
Mm-hmm. So, essentially, in Trading Places, Randolph and Mortimer lose all their money because of Eddie Murphy.
Right.
His character.
Mm-hmm.
And then now, in Coming to America, they're poor. They're living on the streets.
They are.
And Eddie Murphy drops, like, a wad of cash, and
they're back.
They're back, they say. Yeah. So, again, Eddie Murphy comes around, and saves them.
That's very good.
Yeah, that's a good throwback.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all I got for the movie. I mean, it's a...
Okay, I got some stuff about it.
Let's do it.
Funniest part. For one, Eric LaSalle is in the movie.
Right.
And there's this part where he throws a strawberry shake to Eddie Murphy, and it just fucking blasts him across. Like, and it's not even like a shake, it's like a liquid.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's the funniest part of the movie. Oh, funny.
Now, Eric LaSalle plays the boyfriend of the daughter, John Amos's daughter.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like a model or a spokesperson for Soul Glow.
His dad invented it or something.
Okay, is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah. So his family's all Jerry curled up.
He looks a lot like Lionel Richie.
He does
look a lot. Lionel Richie look to him.
Yep. He's a total douche, too.
Yeah.
And then, Lisa's got a whole little sister, too.
Right.
That's good. That's good.
And Arsenio Hall, one of his... I don't know that he's really done movies.
Not a whole lot, but he sure is great in that.
Yeah, he is. You know, the Arsenio Hall show is back, or it's coming back this year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Gonna have Vanilla Ice on there. You know, NWA is gonna perform.
Is that right?
Nope.
Made that up. You made that stuff up.
But the show is coming back.
Yeah, okay.
Those are just some people I remember. Chris Cross was on there once.
I got a little something. I was looking up some stuff the other day, and I saw that there's going to be a Twins Part 2 coming out.
Really?
Called Triplets, and they find a third brother.
Okay.
Eddie Murphy.
Really?
That's what I read.
Wow.
IMDb, the only three confirmed are those three.
Okay.
Danny
DeVito.
Arnold.
And Eddie Murphy, huh?
Yeah, I think it'll be great.
Did you see the movie Tower Heist?
I did.
And what'd you think of that?
I thought it was okay. I thought Alan Alda did a great job. He's really such a douche. I thought Matthew Broderick was really funny in it.
He was, yes.
Like, when he's hanging off the edge and he's just like, I don't want to die. I laughed so hard.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the movie was good. I thought Eddie Murphy was good. He was playing a character, I think, that should have been probably played by a younger actor.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all right. He did it well, and it was cool to see him like that. It was good. It wasn't great.
Yeah, I was a little let down with... People were saying, Eddie Murphy's back. He's playing like his old, characters, whatever. But so I had that built up in my head.
Right, me too. I thought Casey Affleck was very funny in that movie.
Right.
When he's reading that speech to the staff, and he's like, a lot of people think that I'm the reason that Paul McCartney didn't buy an apartment here last year. That shit is so funny.
That's right. You know, Casey Affleck's done a lot that has really impressed me. I mean, just his funny bit roles, but...
Well, you know, actually, Drowning Mona, he's...
Drowning Mona, that was one of them.
He's amazing in that. And
in the... He's in the Oceans movies, too, right?
Yeah, that he is. He's one of the two brothers.
Right.
Yeah, he's good.
Well, let's... you have anything else to add there? This is a good 80s movie. You got it. If people haven't seen it, you got to watch this.
If you haven't seen Coming to America, that's fucked up.
Yeah, it is. It's streaming on Netflix, so people seem to like that.
It's great.
Because you don't have to leave your house. People don't like to leave their house anymore.
I don't.
Let's take a break for a Pearson Salted Nut Roll.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, bringing to you live, the singing monkey shakes.
We're back.
That was good. I genuinely enjoyed that. I was quite hungry.
I'm glad you're not a butthole.
Have you encountered people that don't enjoy a nut roll?
No, actually, this is episode 14, and no one's turned it down.
Why would you?
Right.
Fuck, they're great.
Either it means you are, you hate Minnesota, the state, because they're made in St. Paul.
I read that today on this thing. Okay.
Or you're a butthole. Either way, or you might be allergic to
peanuts,
which that's not my problem.
That sucks, dude. I was thinking about that the other day. Peanut allergies.
Yeah.
It's an epidemic.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
If you couldn't eat something, even if it rubbed up against someone's hand that touched a peanut, you know.
It's weird.
It is. But I have a question for you.
I got an answer.
I know you on a personal level. I know you have a sister.
I do.
But if you had a brother and you could pick it to be either Bill or Ted from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure or Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, who would it be? And why?
Well, first off, I'd like to just say that I think that both those movies are terrible.
Right.
I really enjoyed Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure when I was a child. Right. And then I bought it in high school, and it's fucking terrible. And the second one is fucking stupid, too. I mean, that time travel shit at the end where they're like, whoa, we're just going to travel back in time and be great guitarists, and then bzz, we're back, and it's just fucking stupid. And George Carlin fucking sucks. Anyway, if I had to pick
between... He dead.
Yeah, he is fat. you know, that's a tough question. Keanu Reeves... He's just so stupid. It seems the other guy, I don't know the difference between the two. Is Ted, Ted's the guy from The Lost Boys?
Right.
Probably him.
Okay.
Because he's in The Lost Boys.
Right.
And also, he just seems like the brighter of the two.
Uh-huh.
Although I do enjoy when Keanu played that role, because he also like did it in those two movies. It's kind of like that in that movie, Parenthood or whatever. Steve Martin movie.
Right.
And then also in that movie, I'll Love You to Death with Kevin Kline, okay. Tracy Allman.
Oh, right.
It's a really good movie. It's a dark comedy.
Yeah.
He's supposed to kill this guy, and he's just fucking
Some
stupid.
Might say that he doesn't stretch very far from that role, even in the Matrix movies or Point Break.
Oh, yeah, Point Break's not far from it, too, but see, that was his crossover.
Right.
Man, Point Break's great.
Do you think that's him saying, see, I'm dumb, but I'm just not that dumb? Or act dumb, I don't know. It's not that, I mean, he probably acts better than me, so I can't really...
Well, I mean, I've enjoyed a lot of his movies.
Right.
Even the campy-ass ones, Speed. I love that. That was right. A thrill ride, but I wouldn't say it's a great movie.
That was the tagline for the movie, wasn't it?
Probably. Sure.
Actually, the tagline was... It's the guy from Bill and Ted, but he's not an idiot.
He's a smart cop on a bus with Dennis Hopper.
Mm.
Stop the bus! Dude, that shit is so funny. Stop the bus! We can't stop the bus. Stop the bus!
So you're going with Ted?
Yeah, I'm going with Ted. He's in The Lost Boys.
He's popped up in a few movies. You see him and you're like, that's fucking Ted.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Theodore Logan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I, to be honest with you, I haven't seen the Bill and Ted movies since, when they came out on tape back in the day.
Interesting. You know, here in Mankato, we have what's called the River Hills Mall.
Mm-hmm.
And The first year they opened was the year that Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey came out. And up until then, Mankato had only ever had theaters with four screens, being Mall 4 and Cine 4. Cine 4 being on campus, Mall 4 being downtown. So then opens Movies 8. You know what that means. It also introduced us to a dollar theater. But it opened its doors the night of the famous Halloween blizzard we had here in Minnesota. And I got these tickets from my grandmother to go up to the premiere showing. And they were playing a bunch of movies. That one, the second Hot Shots, or no, it might have even been the first Hot Shots. But my mom really wanted to go see Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, and I didn't. I really didn't. And I wanted to go see the Hot Shots. So, like, my whole family went to one, and I went by myself, and I won this door prize. Oh, it was all this, like, front row Joe shit. He's the mascot. Keychains, T-shirts, duffel bags. It's pretty chill, man.
All Hot Shots stuff?
No. The crappy theater stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It was Magical Evening. You know, truthfully, I could be mixing up exactly. I know it was those two movies. Which one I actually wanted to go see? Probably Hot Shots. I like Chuck Sheen a lot.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And
both. I like Hot Shots 1 and 2.
Yeah, part D.
Yeah, part D.
Oh,
Rowan Atkinson. They tie his shoes together.
He can't. He can't go anywhere. Is that Lloyd Bridges?
Lloyd Bridges was the the captain or whatever.
Did you know that Lloyd Bridges is Jeff Bridges' dad?
Yeah.
And also Bo Bridges.
And Bo, yeah.
Bo Bridges isn't as famous as Jeff Bridges.
He's not. And it's only because Jeff got the role of the dude. Without that, he had nothing.
I don't know, man. The Fisher King?
Well, I don't know what that is.
It's a Terry Gilliam movie. Him and Robin Williams, blockbuster.
Oh, yeah.
It's really
Robin
good.
Williams has the beard in that?
Yeah. Okay. Plays a hobo, essentially. Crazy hobo.
Right.
Oh, that's a good one.
You had a kick-ass beard like that once.
I did.
That was like man versus beard. I didn't know who was winning.
Yeah. It was impressive. There's a photograph of me there.
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was epic.
People enjoy the beard.
Yeah.
I can't grow one now because... I cook food. I prepare food.
Right, you'd have to wear one of those face nets?
Yeah.
Beard nets? Mm-hmm. What do they call it?
Beard nets. I get away with this because I told them it was part of my act. And truthfully, like, my boss, my interview was mostly about, like, digital versus analog recording. So, I mean, it works well. Love it.
Well, let's segue this into the Professor Fresh interview.
Okay.
I've come down to Mankato, Minnesota. I am on location.
Mm-hmm.
Do you call this the dead bird factory?
I certainly do.
This is the factory that churns out those dead birds?
Dead birds. Flying at night.
Well, let's just give a little backstory here. Okay. Professor Fresh started with Psychosynthetic, or was Professor Fresh existing before Psychosynthetic?
Maybe a little. Psychosynthetic.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little because I started it myself, but I soon hooked up with Sam and Dan, and so it was Psychosynthetic. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dan
the man, Dizan. Good friend, Dan Loeffler. He's, I believe he's up in Duluth now, plays banjo.
Okay.
Got a couple of dogs, married a nice gal.
So he was an original member of Psychosynthetic?
He was.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Maybe I did know that at one time.
Well, you know, the three of us performed at, like, house parties around town, and we did, I don't know, four or five shows, and we practiced a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But then one day, we had, like, weekly practices, and I went to pick up Dan. Sam was already over here, coincidentally, and Dan's like, yeah, you know, I don't think I'm going to do it anymore. So he, like, dumped us, and I came back, and I'm like, Sam, Dan dumped us. And he's like, shit. He's like, we should go to Choppers and play the open mic on Sunday night. And I was like, okay. And that was our first show, like, the next week. Mm-hmm. And then we just did the open mic circuits Sunday at Choppers. For all you new kids, Chops. Tuesdays at the What's Up.
So The kid and play kick step routine,
mm-hmm.
kind of, you had to rework that with just you and Sam.
Yeah.
Instead of the three, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty smooth.
Okay. That's good.
I mean, Dan was great. Yeah. I always kind of considered him the like the MCA of the group.
Okay.
Yeah, so to speak. He was a rapper, but you know, he'd wear like a leather biker jacket.
Interesting.
You know, well, I mean, not even so much like that, but like metaphorically.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, I mean, in his high school yearbook, senior picture, he has a cowboy hat on.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a little bit country. He's a little bit rock and roll.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole lot of hip-hop.
Yeah, he liked hip-hop.
For a limited time only.
Yeah, he really liked the Cottonmouth Kings, you know, back in their heyday. That was a big inspiration for the group.
Who didn't?
Yeah, they were very good.
Were, keyword.
I'm not saying that out loud. Right.
So, Psychosynthetic.
Yeah.
I'm starting with this interview. Next, I'm doing Ilpo, then I'm doing Nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do them all.
Doing them.
Fatty
does K-Town.
Nuts and I met online, this dating website.
Yeah.
No, but we, because I had a group called Lyrical Pedestrians and Psychosynthetic was, Nuts was online just kind of promoting or something and... He was like
just generally online quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, he was promoting Psychosynthetic.
He was plugged in.
He was.
And I was also plugged in.
Yes, you were.
And we were like, hey, should we get together and do a show? Fuck yeah, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no.
It was the compilation.
Yeah, this was the early days of Lunatics, and we were talking about putting together a compilation of Minnesota artists, and Psychosynthetic was interested.
Yeah, I can't recall what it was called. It was called, like, the Complication Compilation or something.
I think that's exactly what it was.
I remember things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't remember that.
So me and Sam came up to North St. Paul and recorded a song called Haze of Our Lives, which the album, the compilation never came out. We ended up using that song for the last song on our second album. 7 Past 4:20.
This next song is the last song on our second album.
Yeah. Beastie Boys.
Yep. Again.
Yeah, it's close. You can fit it.
But so that was Psychosynthetic's second album. What was it called?
7 Past 4:20.
7 Past 4:20.
And then that was also, we had two songs with you guys, the Lyrical Pedestrians,
right,
and Vice Versa for the Smoke for the Sun record.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be... Munchies, the actual title track, 7 Past 4:20, Two Crew Stew, and then one other one.
That other one.
I don't remember.
Oh.
Billy was on one.
Right, he was.
Dickie.
Yeah.
Dick Meyer.
He wasn't part of Psychosynthetic, right?
No, but he was on some songs.
Yeah.
He was there.
There was a song about mini golfing.
Yeah, he was on that one.
Let's go.
Golfing. Mm-hmm.
Mini golf, y'all.
I actually found a version of that the other day where Nuts goes, "Let's go golfing." It's very funny. We didn't use it.
These were what I call the good old days.
Yeah, they were some good old times.
So, you know, we'd come up for the come down for the barbecue, 427 barbecue, which is coming up here, by the way. And we'd go mini golfing.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It was very fun. I don't think that place is even open anymore. It's still there. We could go do it if we had putters and balls.
And a weed whacker.
Yeah, probably a weed whacker. Well, you know, it just adds to the excitement.
Right, some more obstacles.
We could wear camouflage so law enforcement wouldn't be alerted to us.
Right. Mm-hmm. So after Psychosynthetic, Sam kind of went his own way.
Yeah,
right?
Cranking some wrenches, motorcycles.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You went solo.
Uh-huh. I did.
And?
Not really, though, because Ruthless kind of already existed.
Oh, so it kind of segued into that.
Sure did. Because Ruthless started actually when Psychosynthetic was still around.
Okay.
And then...
there was a lot of groups coexisting at the same time.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
We did it. If you look on that Deliciously Vicious flyer there, it says Lunatics and also K-Town Records on the left side.
Right. So it...
Nate's
here. It wouldn't be a surprise if at the time there was a show where we would play as Ruthless, Lyrical Pedestrians, and Psychosynthetic, and then a Professor Fresh set.
That happens. That happens.
Those were busy days, man.
They sure were.
Yeah.
They sure were.
And then the solo gig continues.
It certainly does.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Shaken, Not Stirred.
Shaken, Not Stirred.
And then Fresh Files.
The Fresh Files.
I was looking for a poster.
Yeah.
Here at the Dead Bird Factory, not only do they churn out hit after hit, they turn out poster after poster.
Making some posters.
Yeah, and there's plenty to look at here.
Indeed.
When we take the picture for this episode, we'll make sure to get some posters.
Showcase it a little?
Yes.
Okay.
So after Lunatics, then, you continued, and was this your first one, the From Minnesota With Love?
From Minnesota With Love, and I'm very proud of it. It's the only record of all the records I've ever been a part of that I feel really was exactly what I was trying to do.
And the title, From Minnesota With Love, is another Bond reference?
Correct. It's the second James Bond movie, From Russia With Love, of which the title is from.
Okay. But you're obviously not Russian.
No, certainly not. I'm from Minnesota. I was living in Rhode Island for a while, mm-hmm. so it made a little bit more sense.
Right. Yeah. At the time.
At the time.
Right. What happened after this here, From Minnesota With Love?
Well, I did, I guess, a real small run of a Great Made Stupid kind of remix record that was incredibly disappointing and hoped to be forgotten. But wow. Gone to Plaid. He's coming soon. So that's the real deal, the follow-up to From Minnesota With Love.
What's disappointing about this remix album?
It was stupid. You know, it started out, I was just kind of like fucking around with shit. And then I was like, oh, I'll put a CD out and press it up. And then I just, for some reason, had the CD release party booked and had all this show or time. And just didn't. The mixes are... not what I like.
You know what? Mm-hmm. When people ask about it, you should tell them that the record label just wasn't behind it, like the way you thought it would be.
The promotion wasn't there. Yeah, and plus they didn't even put a hole in the CD. I had to do that. You'd have to do it yourself, and it could spin.
That's almost a pretty good, you know, promotional part. You know, like a unique thing to do for your album.
Yeah,
be like, punch your own hole in the CD.
Oh. You'd have to get some measurements.
Yeah, well, that's not your fault once they buy the album.
Yeah.
Okay, so next up you got Gone to Plaid.
Gone to Plaid.
What can you tell me about this album?
It's very, it's like folk music. No, it's not. I have kind of tried to get kind of an of-the-earth sort of vibe for this record, just kind of really organic things, but not really either. You know, it's
still hip-hop.
It's also very outer space, and it's very nerdy, a lot of things. I have a song called James Spader.
I see that. Alex is on that one.
Alex.
Is that Alex?
No. No, it's Alex of the Stylebiters. Yes, he's quite a talented young feller.
Is there any, like, guests that you can talk about or anything?
Certainly.
I don't want to upset the record label at this point.
No, quite a few people. No one, I think, a couple that I haven't had before, but people I work with, you know, no one out of the ordinary. Il Po, of course, will be on the record. Intelligent Design. What do we got here?
The Uge.
The Uge. Rillium Prime, J-Mo's, Johnny Question Mark, got a song with him. The Primary Others, their group I'm recording, they're really good. They're going to be on a song. That's the plan. Who knows what happens? We don't have the song yet. So, but in theoretically,
Too Short
will be on the record.
Snoop Dogg,
Chuck Bites, Dr. Dre. I don't know if you've seen him lately. Eminem's going to actually come in and do most of his verse for him. he does push-ups or some shit.
That's why the what is the new one? Detox isn't out yet because Dre's too busy doing push-ups.
Have you seen the video for
whatever
that song where Eminem raps at him in stasis? Oh, it's great. It's fucking great.
Is that one of the new ones you're saying?
Or? I don't know. Probably. It's newer.
Okay.
Fucking Dr. Dre looks like a T-101 Terminator.
Is that an actual model?
Yeah, that's the one Schwarzenegger is.
Okay. What's a T-1000 then?
That's what the liquid metal that Robert Patrick portrays in Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Your knowledge of movies is always impressive.
Yeah.
Always impressive.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Most expensive movie ever made at its time.
What about the video for Guns N' Roses?
You Could Be Mine.
You Could Be Mine.
Yeah, I just heard that song on the radio. I was thinking about that video.
You Could Be Mine.
You know, interestingly enough, I was thinking about another Guns N' Roses video, which is November Rain. A mm-hmm. Question I always had was, what happens to that girl? Why is she just dead?
Right.
All right, so I looked into it. It's a very interesting story. Okay. Kind of gave me the willies. Well, apparently...
Are you talking the model in the video?
What's the model her, in what's the video. Name? I don't recall.
She's some well-known
yeah,
model.
Some fancy pants chick.
All right.
So... they said that she commits suicide,
mm-hmm.
and that if you look in the scene with the casket, it was common practice to, if there was head trauma, to put a mirror down the center of the body in the casket, so it gives it the reflection appearing that the whole body is intact.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look, that's exactly what's happening in that video.
Oh, wow.
It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Ooh, you're like, ugh.
Maybe she killed herself because Axl Rose is a dick.
Yeah, it's based on some short story that Axl's friend wrote.
Okay.
Yeah, so
about him?
Probably. Who knows?
Now, rumor has it, you know, Duff McKagan has a book.
Is that right?
Slash has a book. And I talked to a friend of mine that had read both of them.
Yeah.
And I said, so what's, like, the common ground on Axl? And they're like, he's a dick.
Yeah.
He's a dick.
I kind of gathered that.
Yeah. But
he's plastic surgery face, too, these days.
Hey, something's going on there. So when's Gone to Plaid? When is this gonna? When does this drop?
It drops when I get it done.
All right.
That's really the way I gotta play it.
So what you're telling me is the record company's not barking up your tree.
Yeah, it could be a year from now. Well, I mean, there's always pressure.
Right.
I want to get it done. I'd like to have it this summer, but I'm not putting a number. I just like I'm not into labels, man. You know. But no, I don't know.
More numbers for that matter. So what have you been doing? You do a lot of shows?
Do some shows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You've been producing beats for other artists?
Doing some beats for other artists.
Name drop. Let's hear it. What do you got?
Let's see. Well, I recently did a beat for Evil Deeds, who does a lot of stuff with Il Po here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be doing some beats. I did a beat for Johnny Question Mark. Hopefully got some on the primary others. Trying to think. Who the hell else have on? I made one, a couple. No, I made one for Intelligent Design's last record. His new record will be all DJ Shovel beats. That's kind of the thing about it. So I don't have one in there. But yeah. There's a few others. I don't know.
Can you tell me a good story about J-Mo's. A recent show?
The other day I was actually up in your old neck of the woods, Bethel.
Bethel?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was there.
Okay, I know where you're talking.
Yeah.
That place.
Yeah, I was there. I was playing with Afro Man and Lil White.
Right.
And, you know, I got there and they didn't show up and no one knew where they were because Afro Man was supposed to go on 420 and it was like 6 o'clock and he wasn't there. So, like, I went downstairs into the green room and ate all of his food. It was awesome. He had like subs and chicken, and there was 2 12-packs of Coke in glass bottles, and I drank most of those. Gave a few away even.
Okay.
It was cool.
I picture Afro Man. He like opens the door and there's Professor Fresh on the floor. His belly has gotten so big it's protruding out the bottom of his shirt.
Yeah.
And there's crumbs all over. And you're just like, what?
What? He's pretty legit dude, though. I will say that, Afro Man.
Would you say he's too legit?
Too legit to quit. Hey. Mm-hmm.
So that's what happens in Bethel.
Yeah.
Afro Man's like, where the fuck is Bethel?
I can't believe that Afro Man plays in Bethel.
Right.
It's like one street.
I can't believe that anybody... plays in Bethel.
Yeah, I've played there a couple of times. It's weird.
Yeah, I've been there. It's interesting.
It is.
Yeah. That's out there.
It is. It's out in the sticks, man. I saw a white squirrel on the way out there, and then I saw a
giraffe. You don't see any black squirrels, though.
No.
They don't like them out there.
They don't. Oh, wow. It is kind of in that.
That's why I moved to the cities, because I like the diversity of squirrels.
Yeah.
White, brown, black.
Yeah, you don't care. They're all
squirrels to me.
Right. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming by to do the show.
Certainly.
Thanks for coming over to my factory of birds that are not living.
Dead Bird Factory.
Right.
ProfessorFresh.com.
Right. So if one were to be interested in a beat, is that the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, there's ProfessorFreshBooking@gmail.com. That's a good way to get a hold of me. Otherwise, you know, Facebook. Go to my Facebook page. You can get messages now from people, so that's good.
That is Facebook.com/ProfessorFresh.
DBF, yeah.
DBF.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Some other asshole, some dude, some slick-ass motherfucker thinks he can have that shit on Twitter and Facebook.
Really?
Some dude. He doesn't do shit. He's just some dude in, like, Cleveland.
Just sitting on it.
Just sitting on it.
Yeah.
Fuck you,
you know
dude.
What? There's some asshole that has idfinedesign.com without the dashes.
What?
And I've hit him up, be like, "What? Can I get that from you?" Because it's nothing. There's nothing there.
Wow.
And he's like, "1,500. It's yours." I'm like,
he's a troll, huh?
Yeah. He's sitting on it. And it expires every year.
Mm-hmm.
He renews it every year just to fuck with me. So, fuck you, guy.
What a dick.
I think he lives in Illinois.
You want to get him?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, Professor Fresh, any last words there? No pressure.
If you're drinking, don't drive. And if you're driving, don't drink.
All right. Well, check out thankyourob.com. You can check out past episodes of this show and my iDefine design with the dashes.
Dashes.
Graphic design. All right, you can hit up Professor Fresh, too. He'd do some shit for you.
Yeah, I would.
He does nice work. If you were to come and see his studio here, you'd see some.
I do some work.
He does some things.
I do some things. So does El Poe, as a matter of fact.
Oh, Jesus. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Guess what? I'm a fucking rapper again.
Oh, it's good. It's good.
There's also another podcast I do. It's called Some People's Kids Podcast, which is a comedy podcast I do with my buddy Chuck, Chuck Chase. It's an entertainment, movie, music, TV-based, other stuff. That's what we talk about.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. And remember this. Don't forget.
Wait a minute. Wait. Stop right there. Listen. Stop right there a minute. Man goes into a restaurant. You listening? A man goes into a restaurant. He sits down. He's having a bowl of soup. He says to the waiter, "Waiter, come taste the soup." Waiter says, "Is there something wrong with the soup?" He says, "Taste the soup." He says, "Is there something wrong with the soup? Is the soup too hot?" He says, "Will you taste the soup? It's wrong. Is the soup too cold? Will you just taste the soup?" "All right, I'll taste the soup. Where's the spoon?" "Aha. Aha. What do you know from funny, you bastard?"
Oh, say, can you see? I'm coming to America, Africa, Africa. Oh, say, can you see? I'm coming to America.
city. All the girls are pretty. Next stop, Miami. Everybody was jamming. I bought a ticket to LA. That's the perfect way. Everyone in the world is coming to the USA.